WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Happy New Year to everybody out there celebrating. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. Going to be with my good friend Andy at GNA, moving from Island Town out to White Marsh. Be doing that next Thursday. Been trying to set up a Crab Cake Tour out there for quite some time. We'll have some Maryland Lottery scratch-offs to give away to start the year, their 50th anniversary, as well as our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation supporting all that we were doing. This man supports all that we've been doing and has for all of this century for the most part. Now, I think we're getting into our third decade of friendship and partnership here through Coons Ford. This is, by the way, Dennis, it'll be 25 years on August the 3rd for WNST. 25 years for the radio station. Now into my 32nd year doing this crazy radio thing. Always appreciative. Happy New Year to you. I know I had Leonard Raskin running around Atlanta all night Saturday, flying home, doing the game. I just say for anybody that went down there Sunday night, everybody stayed to the end, the traffic, the lights, the blackout, like all of that. Give me a little report, because this is the tough times when you really – when they're a playoff team and you don't believe in them, that is the weirdest – we haven't had a Raven year like this, I don't think.
You know, I saw Leonard Raskin from the distance as I was leaving the stadium. I didn't get – I couldn't get close to him to say hello. But it was a festive crowd. It was a crowd that arrived there early. We got our bracelets there for the late show, which was entertaining. The crowd was into it, very loud. It was a typical – Steelers-Ravens game. One of my friends, I ran into a halftime. He said, listen, I made a bet where either team wouldn't win by 6 points. And I said, look, it's going to be a three-point game as they all have been. It's a slobber knocker. It's who makes the least amount of mistakes, right, and who has the ball at the end. And, of course, the Ravens didn't capitalize on their opportunities. The referees make me feel like I'm watching a WWE match at time, Nestor, with the spots and this and that and the other. But it was a very festive atmosphere, but a typical Ravens-Steelers scrum where the Ravens couldn't muster up any offense. The Steelers did a good job of shutting them down on the ground, and the passing game for the Ravens was abysmal, particularly the last two possessions. I mean, they just couldn't move the ball.
Dennis, if I would have told you back in the summer, right, and this could be the case. Hindsight's always 20/20, right? But if I would have told you back in the summer that Lamar would not play for a month in December, that he would not play the month of December, no matter how good they would have been in September, October, they were pretty good. I mean, they had double-digit leads. They did something that no one in the history of the game will ever do again, have double-digit leads in 11 games and blow four of them. Like, literally, right? And they had a double-digit lead again the other night, so you can add that one. They had a 10-point lead again in the second half. And so they've now managed to do this defensively where they've blown these games. And they all haven't been because of interceptions or fumbles or major block kicks, punts, you know, things that can really throw a game askew. These were defenses where Kenny Pickett threw a 30, a 20, and a 10 and went down and beat your ass at the end of a game. And the same would be said for any of the games that they've lost in that fashion. But, you know, there's a point for them where the defense, and Mike Tirico even said this in the broadcast, they cheer the defense here. And I'm thinking to myself, the minute you showed up, put your little bracelet on, all the white lights happen, and you think you're at a hockey game or on a spaceship or out at the Luxor in Vegas or whatever, you knew if you're not cheering defense, you weren't going to have much to cheer about, right? It was not going to be you were going to be cheering for defense. Big defensive plays, taking the ball away, knocking the ball away. This was not running the ball more. This was not going to be, to your point, anything other than what it was. And at the end, when your defense can't hold its weight, your backup quarterback's going to play for a month, you're not going to win that football game, home, away, anywhere, when your defense is folding in the fourth quarter when you've given them a 10-point lead.
Well, a lot to unpack there, Nestor. During the player introductions, first off, Roquan Smith was the last player coming out of the tunnel. He received the loudest ovation. Every time they flashed Roquan into Smith, the crowd went crazy. So your biggest star for the Ravens was your middle linebacker, right? Takes you back to the days when we had Ray Lewis back there.
But can he dance?
Oh, I don't know if he can dance. He hasn't been dancing. He didn't dance so far. But again, I met some friends of mine at halftime, and they're Patriots fans, and they said, Dennis, this is the second year in a row that Lamar Jackson has been hurt at the end of the year. So they think that, to your point that you've said ad nauseum on this program and other segments that we've done together, that his style of football doesn't lend itself to a long and healthy career. And I made the same statement about Josh Allen, but it said, well, Josh Allen's a very it's a much bigger man. But this
Cam Newton thought that. Well, right?
You know what? Cam Newton.
Steve McNair thought that at one point, right?
Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah. So it does make you wonder. Two late season injuries, by Lamar Jackson, that were both week to week. We thought we'd see him back a year ago. That didn't happen. And now they went from 1 to 3 weeks to 4 to 6 weeks. And it's safe to say he's not going to play against the Bengals. More than likely, we'll see him in the playoffs. Maybe I have a lot of my friends who are saying we're not going to see him again. I don't believe that. They're saying we're not going to see him again in Ravens uniform, much less this year. But I do think as a competitor, I do believe he's trying to come back for this team and for himself. He's been all in on this year. And I've seen nothing that would indicate otherwise. But as you mentioned many times, the style of his play, him crashing into linebackers and safeties, doesn't lend itself to him having a long, healthy NFL career.
Huntley got hit 4 times Sunday night, harder than I've ever seen Lamar get hit.
Yeah,
literally,
way,
right?
Well, he doesn't have the instincts. He doesn't look to get down. He's nowhere near as quick, so he doesn't really see the linebackers and safeties coming at him. But it is clear that Huntley is nothing but a backup, and they're probably better served whether it's Anthony Brown or somebody else that can dust off the heap for next year, regardless of who the starting quarterback is for the Baltimore Ravens. But Huntley just couldn't move the team.
It's weird. Dennis Colatzos is here. You can, of course, hear him on Thursday from 3 until 5. Dennis Colatzos and D. Colatzos Show out on Twitter and the Sunday Sports Voice, of course, again on Sunday morning this weekend. You'll be able to hear Dan and, of course, the text service. And we text out Calais Campbell. I mean, some of the media members that were, you know, thought that he was going to go play or try to play. And I'm wondering how hard they should play against Cincinnati this week and where all this would be. But to your point, we've now played 2 Decembers without the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
How did we think that was going to go? I mean, and you watch Tyler Huntley's skill set and you watch the skill position players around him, and he did a good job of finding Mark Andrews, and Dobbins did an okay job of running the ball, and they pull like, you know, a Navy football team. I mean, they pull like Nebraska back in the 80s, right? When IM Hips out there running around, right? Like, they do all of these things. They got Pat Ricard going downhill. But at the end of the day, it's 3rd and 8. You still got to throw the ball or you're going to punt, right? And you get into the red zone and you've got to win in a phone booth that they can't win in for whatever reason. And TJ Watt looked possessed. I mean, the Hayward play, I don't even know if you really saw or you probably came home and watched the highlights.
I didn't see
but
it.
But Ronnie Stanley pulled Hayward down onto him, and Hayward got called. Hayward got into a fight on the sidelines with Minkah Fitzpatrick about it, and Hayward said, I didn't do anything. And he didn't do anything. Hayward was literally pushed onto the pile. Ronnie Stanley grabbed and pulled him down. Hayward threw his arms up in the air, and he got flagged.
Wow.
And they went,
okay.
Like, so the touchdown that they got was only because Ronnie Stanley pulled some Notre Dame trick at the bottom of the pile. Literally.
Well, again, that I didn't see that, and thank you for expanding on that, Nestor. But
it's almost comedic when you watch it. You're going to laugh when you see it. Yeah.
Well, the 2 3-and-outs that the Ravens had at the end of the game, and the biggest issue was the 56-yard return by Justice Hill. He returns the ball to the Steelers' 40-yard line. They gain -2 yards the next 3 plays, Ness, and a punt.
They could have kicked the field goal first down for 57 yards, and they would have had a 8 out of 10 chance of adding 3
right.
points and trying to ice the game or make it more difficult at the very least, or at least protect themselves, right?
Well, they had a 10-point lead at that point. And I also think now with these double-digit leads, Nestor, is these the NFL is progressing faster to a arena football style of league where teams can score points in bunches. I don't put much stock about the Ravens giving up double digit leads. You see that every day. I was watching NFL Red Zone and there were a lot of comebacks, a lot of teams scoring lots of points in the fourth quarter. So I think double digit leads, we've seen they're not safe, certainly not at M&T Bank Stadium or any place else in the NFL these days.
Because these other teams can throw the football,
can
pray for a flag or pray for whatever happened that Jacoby Jones play where the safety just can't get there. And the quarterback's got enough arm to get it there. And the wide receivers, you got the right DeSean Jackson, the right really fast guy getting underneath of it that you have a puncher's chance. I just don't know where the puncher's chance is when A, they may have played themselves now into having to go back to Cincinnati next week, right? They may have played themselves into that. I think they could go to Jacksonville with a healthy Lamar Jackson next weekend and be okay. Obviously, the notion of them playing a home game now against the Chargers or something like that feeling starting to go away. So the notion that they're going to go on the road 3 weekends in a row and beat, name any of these guys, Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Allen, take the pathway that Joe Flacco took, which he beat Andrew Luck, he beat Peyton Manning, he beat Tom Brady just to get to the Super Bowl. That's what you're looking at here. No matter whether your name's Herbert, if your name is Lawrence, either any of these names, you're going to have to beat three other teams, do it on the road. They're not capable. If they had to go
Well,
play tomorrow and start the season all over again, I'm not sure they're a 7-10 football team as they're comprised right now. Even with Lamar Jackson, with a regular schedule, if they don't have wide receivers and they got banged up corners and a beaten up defensive line.
yeah, even with Lamar Jackson, the Ravens are devoid of explosive weapons at the skill positions. You see these other teams around the league, they change quarterbacks, but they still have skilled receivers, skilled players. You look at San Francisco, Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, the last player taken in this year's NFL draft, but he's strong to Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, and he's got McCaffrey in the backfield. You see this kid Stidham over there for the Raiders. He's got Darren Waller, he's got Hunter Renfrow, he's got Devontae Adams. So my point is, it doesn't really matter who the quarterback is for the Baltimore Ravens to a degree, because they just don't have these skilled players. We saw Gardner Minshew against the Cowboys put up 30 some points because he's got AJ Brown and he's got Devontae Smith and he's got weapons. He's got a big time tight end there too. So the Ravens just don't have enough weapons. And hopefully Eric DaCosta will learn that you've got to have a wide receiver one in the NFL and a very competent wide receiver two to be able to compete in these type of games.
Do you think there's another Ford dealership in Cincinnati with someone like you with a President's Award behind you that can even name the wide receivers here? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're naming
No.
all of these weapons in these other cities. Nobody in these other cities is saying James Procci, who Deshaun Jack, he's still playing. He was doing podcasts
Oh,
6 weeks
did I
ago.
see Sammy Watkins last night? I don't even think I saw him on the field. It's just
Hey, hey,
it's
hey. That
insane.
kid that they signed from the practice squad in Arizona ran around, right?
Oh, Andy Isabella, and he got hurt because he was fast. He was a second round draft pick, but didn't even throw a deep ball, I don't believe, the entire game. I'm trying to flash back to th did they even challenge the Steelers defensive backs downfield? I don't think it happened.
Well, Justice Hill with the return was the
Ah,
biggest play of the game that wasn't Ronnie Stanley pulling Cam
it
Hayward
was.
down and getting a penalty, right? And Boswell missing the field goal at 48 yards and the clink. I mean, there were a lot of open doors for them, and much like their season, right? And the loss a couple weeks ago to the Brent. All of these narrow misses and the big. Well, we had a two-touchdown lead, but you didn't. And you're telling me your
You
defense is the strength
lost.
of your team. Your defense is the backbone of how you're going to win a championship 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks from now, and your defense can't hold its weight against Kenny Pickett.
These aren't the 2000 Ravens. They're certainly not the 1985 Bears. They cannot shut teams out. They lost to a rookie quarterback. And football is such a complementary game, and we talk about this all the time, Nestor. It's the ultimate team sport where, again, if the offense gets a couple first downs, if they get another field goal, maybe that changes the narrative and the outcome of the game. But you see these other quarterbacks, these other teams, they get the ball back just like the Ravens Sunday night with 30 and 40 seconds left. And for them to drive down the field, it's not a problem to get a field goal. A lot of times they're threatening the end zone. And you're talking about quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Joe Burrows and Patrick Mahomes, but they have weapons at the wide receiver position. They have explosive players, and what they and the Ravens should trade for somebody next year. They should trade a first and a third, just like the Eagles traded for AJ Brown, because they certainly can't draft a wide receiver. That's they just for whatever reason, the stars have never aligned us. So they don't have a second pick next year. So give up a first and a third and get yourself a real wide receiver one. because that's another narrative. Why would Lamar Jackson want to re-sign with a team that's a run-first team that can help him win ball games?
Well, and that's why no wide receivers will sign here, and that's why they have to draft them, because they can't recruit them. Dennis Colatzos is here. He will be here again on Thursday. All right, so let's play the game, because there's only one left, and then it'll be playoff time next week. So I'll do my Wayne's World. All right, so, like, if you were to write the script as to what's going to happen here, like, I'm going to write a columnist this week that's going to be a little bit of the, you know, ghost of past, present, and future. When the story is written on draft day, right? Because we already know they're going to draft 20-something, or, you know, whatever it's going to be, based on their playoff team. And they're going to draft 21st, 3rd, 2nd, wherever it's going to be. What happens between today and then? And I don't just mean a Cincinnati game this week. Like, what field do they walk off of disappointed after losing the year? And the season's over. What does that press conference look like? What happens to Greg Roman? What happens to Lamar Jackson? Is Lamar Jackson part of that? Or is Tyler Huntley going out and losing in Cincinnati this week and next week? Like, there are so many crystal balls here. And then the crystal ball in regard to, where's Lamar's head? Does he really want to be here? Or are they just ready to be done with him at this point and say, this didn't work? You know, I got to keep my job. I'm Eric. I'm John. I like my gig around here. Kid can't play in December 2 years in a row. We have issues with him. He doesn't show up at OTAs. We can't sign him. He's got a statue. He thinks he's bigger than he is. Then he doesn't show up and play in the games we need him in. We made a mistake here. Let's go lick our wounds and have Derek Carr be our quarterback. I'm making this up, but, like, something has to happen here that looks like $200 million for a kid who's been unavailable lately, or they're going to franchise him and live with whatever that means for him psychologically. But this isn't going to end with a parade, and I'm starting to get ready for it's going to rain soon. and what does that mean for Eric and Steve and John Harbaugh? And what does it mean for Lamar?
Well, first off, as a fan of the team, I would love to see a home game, which seems out of reach now. Had they beaten the Steelers, it would have been within reach. So I'm disappointed with that. I think that with they have to move on from Greg Roman. I think it's obvious the team needs a freshening, just like they needed a freshening from Wink Martindale a year ago. Bringing in somebody, and not somebody from the Harbaugh tree, somebody from the outside. If I'm Steve Bisciotti, I want some fresh ideas. I want a younger coordinator. I want a modern-day offense. And
I'm telling you right now, every time I've ever been with John, and I've been with John a lot, right, and I've been lied to by John, and I've been told the truth by John, every time there's ever been a discussion with John in regard to coaches, and this was from my book, right, this is after Cam Cameron, all of that, John is adamant, as much as his last name is Harbaugh, that he picks his coaches.
That he's
going to pick his coaches.
But here's the conversation. If I'm Steve Bisciotti, John, you can certainly pick your next coordinator, and you will. I want you to interview the best coordinators that are available, whether you know them or not, whether you have a relationship or not. He owes that to the team, and he has to do that. It wouldn't be a request. It would be more of a demand. Make him think maybe it's his idea, but to me, he needs to bring in the best candidate, the one that can elevate this offense using Lamar Jackson's skill set. That would be the conversation. No other conversation, because that would be a huge sticking point if I'm the owner. And the second piece is franchise Lamar to see what does he look like with a wide receiver one. Get him a wide receiver one someplace. Trade for him. I don't care what you have to give up for him. Get him a proven wide receiver one. Then the next question is, does Lamar show up on the tag? Does he play on the tag, or does he?
So you're going to give Lamar $45 million, then you're going to deal for DeAndre Hopkins.
I would.
Making a name up.
I would.
DJ Moore. You're going to deal for somebody.
I would
you're
going to
give that guy $18 million too.
I would do that.
22
Absolutely.
Million.
I would do that, because it's, for me, Lamar would be a 1 year rental at that point, just to see can he take the next step. And if he can't, guess what? The following year, we trade him, we get whatever we can for him. But for 2023, I want to see what he looks like in a modern day offense, in a pass first offense, not a run first offense, with a
Oh,
great...
you're gonna put him in a pass first offense. I would tell you there's your mistake right now. That's like me telling you that, you know, I want a big, big, roomy car from Ford, but I want to get 60 miles to a gallon. You know, like I don't think I don't think that that's tenable. I don't think he can drive that car, honestly.
Well, to me, I think he can, and there's a big question mark there. One of us is wrong, one of us is right, and we may never find out the answer depending on how this offseason plays out. That's the other piece of this puzzle.
He's never going to be past first, because when the ball's in his hands and they're down 10 points in the third quarter, he's going to run with the football.
If he has some wide receivers he can throw some jump balls to, Nestor, I wouldn't be so sure about that. He ran a pro-style offense in Louisville. He went up against some big-time teams in the form of Clemson and other big-time programs. You know, he played against Deshaun Watson and the Legs and went toe-to-toe with him with a lot less talent, but he had more talent a wide receiver than he has right now in college. So let's give the guy some weapons just to see what he looks like in a pro-style offense in the NFL. He looked very well, very good in that offense in college.
You're down on James Prochet, aren't you? You're down
well,
on
listen,
Andy Isabella.
James
aren't
Prochet, Tylan Wallace. I mean, all these guys they keep bringing in. I mean, but I'm not sure what AJ Brown will look like in this offense, or Davante Adams, Justin Jefferson. They may be pedestrian because of the style that they play. I don't know. I just don't know.
I don't think that this style of offense is attractive to any of the wide receivers that we would covet in fantasy.
No, but it's attractive to offensive linemen and running backs and tight ends, perhaps. But the one position, and it's a big position in the NFL. In today's NFL, I don't believe you can win anything without having a couple of big-time wide receivers, which the Ravens lack. If you look at the Chiefs and the Bengals and the Bills and the Eagles and all
offense.
These things, I mean, they have weapons. They can score, and they can play defense, and they can run the ball. They're well-rounded. They're not one-dimensional. This team can't come back from a deficit. I mean, we saw that Tyler Huntley vomited all over himself with 40-some seconds left to go, whereas a competent quarterback with competent skills players would drive down that field and set up his kicker for a field goal or even maybe a game-winning touchdown.
Dennis Galatzos is here. He's the scoring touchdowns over Coons, Baltimore Ford. He's over at Security Boulevard. He will be here on Thursday from 3 until 5, driving you home, as well as on Sunday morning, getting you ready for Ravens and Bengals and the final weekend of the season, the final weekend for some coaches and some players and some retiring people. And then we're going to get into playoffs next week, and it's going to be a whole new world. Two games on Saturday, 3 on Sunday, 1 on Monday as well, and matchups all over the place and plenty to talk about into the offseason here as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive into New Year 2023.